Hey there, welcome to the show. Hey, you know what? I am so excited about today because this is the first Real Estate Talk Triangle of the year. And my returning panelists, thank goodness, my friends, my colleagues, the professionals that have been part of this whole thing for years. I've got Tim Sirianos joining me. Tim is the broker owner of RE/MAX Ultimate, former president of the Toronto Real Estate Board, and he used to be a director at the Canadian Real Estate Association. Look, you know what? It's amazing. Tim runs an incredible brokerage in Toronto, you know, lots and lots of agents, and he is definitely the voice of what's happening right now in real estate. I've got Dave Butler from Dave Butler Mortgage. You know what? Dave has been my go-to person for over a decade to have the conversation, the real conversation about interest rates. What is the best thing for you and what should we anticipate in the future? Guys, this is it. 2024. I can't believe we are here. We are ready to go. Tim, great to have you here in studio. Dave's joining us by Zoom, but I got to tell you, what a year last year.
Absolutely. It's one definitely for the record books on the opposite side of the spectrum, you know, not on the top side, but on the bottom side. Last time we ended up with 65,000 sales was 2001.
Wow.
And guess how many realtors were in the business? 17,000.
17,000.
17,000. 65,000 sales. That is pretty much half off the peak.
Yeah.
Of 2 years earlier of 121,000, you know, so it was definitely a year that had a lot of bumps and demonstrated a lot of bruises for a lot of people, especially people who speculated or people that didn't anticipate a run up on the interest rates. So the numbers were quite revealing.
Yeah, that's staggering. And, you know, the one thing I think, Tim, that you'd have the ability of, you know, sharing with us was that the actual overall value, like price, didn't drop at the same rate, obviously, as the number of sales, which is very fortunate because I'm pretty sure if people were down 40% in their valuation right now, they'd be a little bit upset.
Well, you know, when you're where we're located downtown Toronto, it's always been very insulated from the rest of the GTA or even across, you know, Ontario. And I compare it many times to a little, you know, pebble in a pond that's really still, and it, you know, makes a little bit of a mark, but then as it goes out, the waves start to increase. So when you're going outside of the GTA and looking at Durham region or other areas, there was in some neighborhoods as much as 30% off the peak, right? But that's not a reflection of the whole market, right? So you have to be, as you said, you have to be very careful. You know, that drive until you qualify was something that ran up the marketplace in 2021 and 2022. And those were the areas that were hardest hit. But when you're looking at the downtown core, the city of Toronto proper, it was nothing like that at all. People just did not participate in those kind of price drops.
So Dave, you did a lot of qualifications in the 905 and the 416, obviously over 2023. I do want to bring up a point though that Tim mentioned about, you know, the drop of 30% in value, you know, in some of those remote markets. But I got to tell you though, I struggle a little with some of the calculations because that run up, and I'm pretty sure we can all agree, February 2022 was a complete anomaly. In fact, that month in itself, I think, Tim, we almost had a 5% increase in value. Dave, you were placing mortgages at the time. You were qualifying people at the time. And I think that they would be coming to you saying, hey, Dave, I need $1 million mortgage. And then, you know, 2 days later, Dave, I need a $1.2 million mortgage. It's because they kept jacking the price because they were chasing something. But that doesn't, that never to me said that that was the value of the property. That was just some really silly people getting caught up in the mix.
Yeah, right. I mean, we were at the height of volatility, and I'm always like you, I'm very cautious in calling for 30% drops, 25% drops when you're talking about from the height of insanity. You know, a lot of it is not going to be true price discovery. And as you said, 5% in real estate in 1 month goes against any book or anything that we've learned in this industry. And so, yeah, I mean, look, I think if we want to look at it more, you know, from a true mathematical standpoint, I would say we probably want to look at what prices were probably in the summer of 2021, still highly elevated. But I would be comparing, when I look at comparing like what 2023 brought us, I'm actually comparing it generally, I like to compare it to the summer of 2021. That thing feels like a bit more
accurate,
you know, normal. Yeah, I mean, the froth from August to February, August of 2022, or sorry, 2021 to February of 2022 was just something. I think, like Tim, you've never seen it. I've never seen that. It was insanity, to be fair. So,
very much so. I mean, we knew that that was just a very big push, like a last minute push, right? And then the interest rate increases that happened month over month over month over month just completely took that away. And just to go back to your point, you're absolutely right to look back at 2021 and not look at, you know, that headline of the 30% that happened in certain neighborhoods, because we still came out with a, you know, a value increase of 1.something% year over year when you look at it, right? So, yes, you got to look at, you know, that February, you got to take that month out, normalize the marketplace, and then you have the true number.
Yeah. Now, of course, the speculator that hopped in at that last second thinking that they're going to make gazillions, you know, and that was one of the things. And, you know, I do want to talk a little bit about the mindset of 23 was the fact that a lot of people were beating up on certain people. Like, you know, Tim, you heard it. Dave, you heard it. They, you know, they were trashing. They, you know, everybody was saying real estate investors, but they weren't real estate investors, these people that were buying in those last couple of months. They were real estate speculators. And then, of course, woe is me. Some of them can't close. Some of them are, you know, complaining they can't cash flow. But they were never going into it with the right mindset in the first place. Like, the people that were buying in a kind of a structured way would always turn around and say, look, what if, right? Like, you, Dave, you focus on real estate investors. This is something I'm sure you felt.
Yeah, I mean, we had hit that point, and we've talked about it on the show multiple times. We hit that point in the cycle where basically real estate was being day traded, right? You had people buying, you know, your everyday, you know, person that does renovations, who runs a renovation company, was now a real estate investor, buying a property, thinking they're going to fix it up and sell it because the other renovator guy that they know did it 3 months earlier. And we really got into that. This person did this, so we're going to do it. And that mentality never works in efficient markets, let alone inefficient markets. So yeah, I mean, look, we saw the speculator get burned at the end there. Some of them made it out well, though, on, you know, in 2021 and, you know, in some parts, and maybe they didn't get burned, but there was definitely a handful of people that got burned. I was dealing with trying to fix some of these issues that some of these people had. But the reality is, I think when you talk about what the story is for 2023, I think it comes back to efficient investing, no longer playing a hype run. I think you really now, you know, if you're not looking at your dollars and cents and you're not really being meticulous in managing your costs and in managing your thesis, you're going to get burned again. This is not going to be a year for opening up the floodgates. This is going to be a year where you need to be extremely efficient and smart-minded.
Yeah, and Dave, you and I talked about this in one of our earlier shows, of course, was the fact that there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's how fast you run towards that light. And as I've tried to explain to most of our listeners, is, look, we know, and the prediction is that interest rates are going to come down in 2024. Does that mean you should go out and bet the farm and drop everything and put caution to the wind? Or should you still go into it with a mindset that you still have to look at affordability, play it by today's rates? Because you still have to qualify by today's rates. And this is the most important thing. I think that we're all excited, Tim, about 24 and the idea that interest rates are going to come down.
Yes, that is the sentiment right now in every meeting we've had in January. We've had a couple meetings. We had a large AGM where we had, you know, all our 400 professional realtors, you know, participating in it, looking at where we're going to be in 2024. And the theme, the sentiment is that it's going to be a much better year than 2023, and the rates are going to come down. Now, the bet of when they're going to come down is an ongoing conversation we're going to continue to have. I still believe that, you know, April is the possibility of seeing a first cut. What I love about the announcement that was made is that there's no longer a threat anymore of interest rates increasing. It's just now, when are we going to decrease them? Yeah. And that is in itself instilling confidence in the consumer to start kicking tires, making inquiries. Let me look at that property. Like, and not as a speculator and not even as an investor, but somebody who's wants to put their life back on path instead of being in a hold position. So we're actually seeing a lot of inquiries, a lot of an uptick in showings. We've actually seen a couple multiple offers already, you know, already. So there's already people looking at the marketplace.
Yeah. Dave, I'm going to have you comment about, obviously, the Bank of Canada rate decision, the CPI, all of that when we go come back from our next break, because that's one of those ones that I need some runway with you on, because we got to make sure that that we have a great conversation about it. You know, speaking of conversation, like I said, this is the Real Estate Talk Triangle. We will be bringing it to you on a month-to-month basis, of course. You can also catch it on the Simple Podcast. I do have an incredible podcast that's out there. My producer, Aiden, make sure that we have some kind of off-the-cuff stuff. We have a lot of fun with it, and it just is us, you know, without any handcuffs, and we get to really talk about certain aspects of the market. So make sure you tune into that. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, TheSimpleInvestor1. And hey, by the way, I do have a question for you all. What have you decided to do this coming Saturday, February the 3rd? What are you doing around 11 a.m.? Well, you know what? Here's the thing. We do have our Simple Seminar webinar, and we are giving away not one, but two down payments. We call it the Great Down Payment Giveaway, and we are giving away $56,000 down payment each for a property, one-bedroom unit in London. It's very exciting stuff. We are full up, actually, for the seminar. We are completely packed to the rafters. The only way you could participate in this is sign up for our webinar. So go to thesimpleinvestor.com. You don't want to miss out on that opportunity. I am going to be talking a lot about what is currently in the political environment, how it's going to have any kind of adverse effect to real estate, investment real estate. We're going to talk about what the banks are thinking, what we're going to see in interest rates for 2024, and how do you make it through this tough interest rate environment. So much more. And when we come back, I've got Dave Butler, Tim Sirianos staying with me. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is the first Real Estate Talk Triangle of 2024. You know, in-house, I've got Tim Sirianos. Tim is the broker owner of REMAX Ultimate, former president of the Toronto Real Estate Board, former director of the Canadian Real Estate Association. Great guy, father, husband, friend, you know, the whole bit. I mean, he is the entire package and should be really broker of the year. I also have Dave Butler. He's joining us by Zoom. And Dave is Dave Butler Mortgage. Of course, look, here's the thing. His name is synonymous with mortgages. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, Butler, Dave Butler. I mean, it's as simple as that. And I have counted on Dave for the last 10 years for all his professional input in the mortgage world. And he has thousands of satisfied clients. And that's the most important thing, is taking care of the people. Dave, just before the break, we had been kind of getting down that road when we start talking about the Bank of Canada. And of course, we had a CPI rate come out. Bank of Canada turned around this past week. They held pat. I would say it was more of what they didn't say than what they said. You know, they did not threaten us again. That came out of the narrative. How about you tell us what you think?
Yeah, it was interesting language from TIFF, and the Bank of Canada. Look, I think, you know, the idea is that we want them to start talking about future rate cuts. And, you know, it was alluded to in a certain way, but we also have to be careful. They just had a small uptick in inflation from 3.1 to 3.4. Nothing that wasn't,
It's funny. Yeah, Aiden and I replayed that, and you said, "Hey, there's going to be a little bit of an uptick when we talk in January."
Yeah, I think it definitely seems like it's been choppy for a couple months for sure. But the way it's calculated, it looks like by the time we hit probably the spring summer, we're going to start to see some drops. We should start to get headline inflation with a 2 in front of it, which is, I think that's really when the Bank of Canada is going to be able to kind of put their foot on that gas pedal with respect to getting closer or getting to lowering rates. But look, they have to be cautious. You can't go from, in my opinion, 3.1 to 3.4 and then start talking about reducing rates right away. So I think TIFF was playing it very close to the vest. But the reality is I'm very, very interested in that March 6th meeting. The language used at the March 6th meeting is going to be so key. And that's going to be where the setup comes for possibly the April reduction, or more or less potentially April becomes that super dovish tone, and then we start to see them really getting into the nitty-gritty with the rate cuts in the summer. But you know what, we've said this before and we've talked about it on the show, You can't trust Tiff. You just can't trust that he's going to do the right thing. And I think, obviously, he was late to the party for increasing rates. I still believe he's going to be late to the party for reducing the rates, but that's just a Tiff thing. The reality is, I think we should be lowering rates now to help Canadians. You guys, Tim's seeing it. Todd, you're seeing it. Canadians are not doing well right now. Affordability is an issue, but paying your bills is just an issue now. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting, but you know, looking forward to next week. We've got U.S. interest rate announcement, where obviously we'll hear from Jerome Powell and see what his tone is. And then, of course, you've got CPI coming out in February for the January numbers. We'll start to see, hopefully, some backtracking coming back down. But ultimately, I think we're on the right path. We're definitely on the right path. But yeah, Bank of Canada couldn't do much on this meeting, in my opinion.
So, Dave, if Jerome Powell, head of the U.S. Fed, comes out and starts looking at a reduction, potentially February or March, for that matter, is it possible that the Bank of Canada, that's going to put pressure on the Bank of Canada for Tiff to turn around and say, well, big brother Jerome's doing it, maybe I have to?
Well, you definitely have to. I mean, with the reality is our economies and our dollars are tied in a way that you don't want them to be out of step with respect to interest rates. So it would definitely put some pressure on Tiff. But the reality is you know, and again, I hate to say this, I think Tiff is, at least for the short term, going to be his own driver. At least, you know, I feel like he's the kind of guy that if Powell starts talking like that, he's going to hold back a little bit more than normal. But I will say this, Powell making a statement like that will put pressure, whether Tiff outwardly talks about it or not. It will put massive pressure, not just on Tiff, but on our economy and on our dollar, for sure.
Yeah, and our government, which we're not going to talk about yet. I'm keeping our government at bay until at least the next segment. But Tim, you know, we talk about interest rates. Obviously, you know, you have a lot of meetings with your staff. And, you know, the overall narrative, 24, we should be looking at some reductions. With that in mind, you know, what do you tell people today? Are you telling them, you know, go to a fixed rate, you know, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year?
Well, first, I want to comment on what Dave said, and I want to say that Tiff's going to do his own thing. I agree with that last statement, that I don't think he's going to really react to the U.S. Noise. He's going to, you know, kind of put himself out in a different place when it comes to that. At the same time, you know, something that he did say that was really good was the government has to stop spending money. And we're not going to talk about government, but
not yet.
A big part of the inflation that I believe he knows is there is that it's government spending fueling more of the inflation than anything else. To give you an example of inflation, we had a recent application in our office where a resettlement application program applicant came looking for a place to rent. As we know, the rental market is extremely tight right now. And the government in spending, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, I'm just educating here, is providing this family $85,000 to resettle in Canada. This is part of the government spending that needs to be reined back somehow. This is just one example. Yep. You know, so I believe that what he is doing that's really good is he's talking to the leadership of the government saying, hey, part of this not being under 3% yet is your fault. And this not being under 3% is putting the strain on Canadians, and we need to look at how we're going to change everything. In our office, in our meetings, we're telling everybody to bet on variable. I know it hurts. I know that it's not the right rate that you want to accept right now, even though fixed rates have been dropping. We just feel in our heart that if you lock in a two-year rate right now, and this is Dave's domain, but I'm just saying that how I feel, that you're making a tremendous mistake. It's going to cost you a lot of money. It's better that you wait those 2-3 months, you know, whether the cuts start coming in April or they start coming in June, they're coming. And when they're coming, that's when you want to reevaluate what you're going to do.
So just for fun, because I'm reversing roles here, I asked Tim a mortgage question, of course, and I'm out of date. So Dave, would you advise people to sell right now, or would you tell them to wait for 6 months for the market to go up?
Well, here, I'll put my Tim hat on. At the end of the day, you know, the reality is this. I think Tim would agree, if I decided to sell my home in 2024, I would probably want to do it in that spring summer market. Generally speaking, you know, if you got the nice garden and the nice pool it's not going to be shown off. And if I wanted to sell my home, I want to do it when, you know, Canada has the weather to allow me to make it look prettier and get that top dollar. And more importantly, look, there's going to be more people buying. I mean, Tim talked about it earlier. You know, the sentiment shift has actually been quite big since the Bank Canada. We're now four meetings in a row. So, let's be realistic. It's been half a year. There's been no increases. You know, when you look back and you take out January of 2023 and you look at from February of last year to now January of this year, so take 12 months, there's only been two tiny increases of a quarter point, that being in June and July, again, taking out the January increase of in 2023. So we're a half a year now, no increases. So if that's not going to get sentiment going based on what we just went through, I don't know what else is. But yeah, spring summer market, I think we're all anticipating just some, not just change in sentiment, but just more people deciding that the market is now there for them.
The window is closing. That's the point I want to make here, that, you know, the window is closing. Now the runway is shorter. So if you're looking at not being part of an environment where people are putting their homes on the market and people are bidding and people feeling extra positive with the sunshine and the flowers and everything else that goes with it, then the time is now to start, you know, looking at it.
All right. So you know what? If you're timing a market, this is, you just heard it. Okay, that window is going to close really soon. For those of you that are looking at the bottom of the market, are we there? Well, that's a question we're going to answer when we come back with my panel. And as I said earlier, hey, if you're not following me on Instagram, do it. The Simple Investor One. And then you can catch us on our YouTube channel. And we try to keep everybody up to date on what's happening in the world of real estate. And when we come back, we've got more with Tim and Dave. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this part of our show, we call it the Real Estate Talk Triangle. And, you know, it's been kind of a real rush for the last 11 years I've been doing the show. And I don't know, you know, we were trying to figure out how many of these we have done. And I think we're in excess of 450. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been, you know, amazing to have so many incredible guests. But for the last several years, I've been really fortunate to have two panelists that join me as part of the Real Estate Talk Triangle. Tim Sirianos, he is the broker owner of RE/MAX Ultimate, former president of the Toronto Real Estate Board. I've got Dave Butler. I call him Dave Butler Mortgage. I don't know if it's a company or not, but the truth is he is the name of mortgages, in my opinion, and also the guru. And so, you know, gentlemen, just before the break, we were talking about, obviously, you know, what to expect. You know, I reversed the roles. Dave became, you know, real estate. Tim became mortgages. But, you know, the funny thing is that, and I'm going to say this before we go too much further. If you are a professional in either one of these industries, so let's say you are a professional realtor, it would behoove you to understand a lot of things about mortgages. And if you are a mortgage specialist or professional broker, you better know something about real estate. Because if you don't know the other part of the equation, you're not taking care of your clients, okay? So make sure you gain as much knowledge. I'm not telling you you have to advise people, but at least understanding what you're trading in. And you know, Tim, one of the things that you and I've done is we've started saying that we don't want to report things because it's always after the fact. So we try to predict things. So you and I have thrown down predictions in the past. Dave and I have thrown down predictions in the past. What the heck? It's 2024. What's the end of the year look like?
So I truly believe that the end of the year will look like 80,000 sales with a price increase between 3% and 4%. 3% is where I'm going to land on, but 4 is my optimistic side. But I'm really, really thinking that from 65,000 sales of 2023, we're going to end up just at that 80,000.
Nice. I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of realtors right now that are listening saying, yay, Tim. you know, because when you think about 15,000 more sales, you know, maybe some cars won't get repoed, but at the end, you know, one of the big things is that, Dave, the only way all those sales are going to happen, of course, is people getting mortgages. Do you see that uptick? I mean, would you agree with Tim on that?
Yeah, I would actually. You know, look, we are already seeing the stress test coming down by virtue of some of the fixed rates coming down. That alone is going to help get some more people out there buying properties because they're going to be able to now qualify when maybe they didn't, or maybe they're now going to qualify for that home that, you know, was the one they wanted as opposed to the smaller one that, you know, they were qualifying for at the time. So, look, I you know, Tim's predicting about a 15% or sorry, a 25% increase over 2023, 2023 being an absolute just disgusting basement type of year. So yeah, I really in line with that, you know, and his prediction in terms of price increase, very, very, you know, I would say very, very on the number. I mean, the reality is, you know, it all depends on the height, right? This is, you know, if you're going off pure numbers, I definitely think a 3 to 5% increase in price is definitely there. It really depends on how the sentiment picks up from the rate drops when they finally happen. Do things get crazy? Do we get into this manic type behavior that we saw before? Hopefully not. The reality is the stress test will hopefully still be at a level where it keeps that madness from gaining traction. Because I think we can all agree the one thing that, you know, we got in 2021 and 2022 was the feeling of a market out of control. And as much as it was, you know, the action, it was action packed and everything else, I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it felt. I didn't like the way consumers and their money was being spent. And I really just didn't like the way that the backside felt, because the reality is you run up that fast, the backside's going to hit you hard at some point. And I think we all felt it in 2023, sadly.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring here because you two gentlemen stated your case. And I thought you did a very good job of it, of course. But I will tell you where I think the strength of the market will come from. And it's going to be first-time homebuyers. And one of the reasons why I say this, and having been in the industry almost as long as Tim, the one thing I can say is that all markets always start from the first-time homebuyer market, just so we're clear. So it's what happens is first-time homebuyers return into a marketplace. I think that once rates do adjust slightly, if it's a fixed rate mortgage that people are playing with, and a lot of first time home buyers will be attracted to a fixed rate mortgage, which is going to come down a little bit earlier than, let's say, the Bank of Canada. So which means that we're going to see a couple people coming in maybe with a 2 or 3 year fix because it became a little bit more affordable with the stress test. So we're going to see the first time home buyers walk into the market finally because they've been having enough. They don't want to pay the rents they're paying. So that's the first part of the market. Plus, you've got all these new Canadians, some of them having been employed long enough to be able to turn around and afford a house or a condo, whatever that would be. Now, from there, that's where you see your move up buyer, meaning they've sold their first home, meaning the condo, the townhome, the semi-detached. And this is where the equation of the market will start to shift. The big, big stuff, my take is when we talk about the multi-million dollar ones, the people that get all upset about that, that market is not going to really do a whole lot of motion until about 12 to 18 months from now. It just can't. It's not there. These people aren't the ones generated by interest rates. They're the ones generated by equity, right? And that's where I think we're going to start to see a little bit more pressure, but it's 18 months away before we see the $2.5 million property go back to three, and then they sit there and realize more equity so they can do something with it. Tim, I don't know. Am I off my own rocker?
I think you're really accurate with the higher end market, especially, right? It always starts with the first time buyer. It always starts with the most affordable entry point into the market. So you're going to be looking at, you know, your condo market coming back. Like right now, the most attractive properties that we're seeing, you know, eyeballs on and inquiries on are semi-detached townhomes, you know, smaller homes like that, detached homes like that in a smaller price point in different areas, more so than condos, right? But we are going to start seeing condos coming back in the latter half of 2024 in a great way. And I believe you're very accurate when it comes to the upper end luxury market for sure.
So Dave, you're going to be qualifying all those people, of course. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think from your perspective, the people that are coming in to get qualified now, you know, they're looking at their base price. I think most people are qualifying for properties right now that'll be south of $1 million. I don't think you're going to see the same push that we saw. Like that height of 22, I mean, people were looking at 2 million, 3 million, like they were going crazy because they thought, hey, I can make a quick 400 grand on this property. Today, I think the speculators are gone. Like this market definitely shifted some of those out. I know people are trying to time the market, but quite frankly, I do believe today we're going to see our first group of activity will definitely be south of $1 million.
Yeah, and you know, you hit it. Those that the you know, when we talk about the first time buyers, I think one of the things we forget about sometimes is that they haven't actually been in the market for now coming into the spring. It'll be almost 2 years, because the reality is, in my opinion, and I'm sure Tim and Todd, you guys can, you know, give your take on this, but for most of 2020, I'd say 2021, the buyers were investors. The first time buyer was getting their offer snuffed to the bottom of the pile while all the investors were coming in and overbidding, because they were in a position where they were thinking, hey, I'm going to quick sell this so I can kind of afford to overpay because I'm getting rid of this quick. The first time buyer was not of that mindset, and they didn't want to pay the prices that, you know, at the time were starting to seem unreasonable. So the first time buyer hasn't been in this market for a long time. And we all know when you shut out a segment of buyers, you know, they're not sitting there giving up. They're waiting for their spot. And this could be the spot, as you allude to, spring, summer market, a little bit of final, that last piece of capitulation of some sellers into this, you know, winter market. And you might find yourself, with, as rates maybe start to come down, as sentiment's changing, the perfect storm for that first-time buyer to find that opportunity. But as we all know, that is likely going to be a small window. You know, and we alluded to 12 to 18 months. I agree with you. I think, you know, after that, depending on where rates are and where sentiment continues, you know, you could start to see some odd creepings of what we saw before. But again, it's all going to depend on the height and how much smoke gets behind this.
Yeah. And I think it's best that we predict all this instead of reporting it. And you know what? One other thing I have to predict is I've got to go to a break. But I'll tell you, I can predict that when we come back, we're going to have more with Dave and Tim. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. Hey, guess what? At least I'm one for one today. My prediction is that we'd be back, and here we are. And I predicted that Dave and Tim would be here too. And guess what? They stay put. And I got Tim Sirianos, broker owner of RE/MAX Ultimate, Dave Butler from Dave Butler Mortgage, still in the studio with us. Tim, you know, one of the things that when we start predicting stuff, we got to take a look at what the future holds. And, you know, predictions are interesting. Some people do it by fact. Some people do it by gut feeling. You had something rumbling in 2023 in your gut, and you threw out a prediction, and, you know, that prediction, it got a lot of play. A lot of people sat there and said, Tim, are you kidding? Tell us what you said.
Well, basically, I said that my prediction for 2024 will be that we'll have a different leader for the Liberal Party.
Hey, Dave, two thumbs up on that one, buddy. Woo!
Yeah. And you know what? And it wasn't really, I made it very clear, this is not about politics. This is not me, you know, putting one party over the other. It's just what we're seeing when it comes to policy and you know, people endorsing and people buying in and leading. I really feel, and I stick by my prediction, that is still going to happen. You know, we've seen the retreat that's happened and trying to rally the troops behind to get on one page, to be a common, you know, team paddling in the same direction. But there's still a lot of cracks. There's still a lot of sentiment out there that we may have an early election. We may not be waiting till 2025 before we have an election. And everything that, you know, you've seen even after the leadership retreat, there's still doubters, right? So I still stand by my prediction that rightly or wrongly, we are going to have a different leader of the Liberal Party.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, you did make a prediction there that it could be earlier than 25. And, you know, here's the thing, folks. We try not to get too political, but we can't help ourselves, because when we talk about real estate in general, so real estate ownership, real estate development, real estate building, everything else, you know, we've got a federal government, I think, that's lost their way, you know, because the commitments that have been made have not come to fruition. And, you know, recently there's been a ton of reports. The government will continue to turn around and say, look, we're adding 7,000 homes here. We're adding 6,000 homes here. We're adding 45,000 homes here. You know, they're throwing some money at a problem, but they're not throwing a solution. And they're not even throwing the money yet. It's a commitment from anywhere from 3, 5, and 10 years. Solutions have to happen today. You know, if you want to talk about a government in place 10 years from now, and, you know, how are we going to hold them accountable for not delivering 1.5 homes? 1.5 million. And Tim, you know, the one thing, and I know being the president of the Toronto Real Estate Board, I know that you were obviously on panels and councils and everything to give input. I know, Dave, that you follow this stuff because we've got to track absolutely everything, all aspects of real estate. When we talk about inventory, you know, we talk about immigration, we talk about, you know, students, you know, there are things that are coming into play, but they're not making a difference. In fact, the federal government claiming that they're bringing more homes, they missed in 2023, and it was a significant number. Like, they missed by about 40,000 off our normal balance sheet, no addition. We went backwards, and yet you introduced a million people into the country. Dave, you know, you and I talk about solutions. I don't think any of them have one for us.
No, and I mean, you know, I struggle with still to this day, and I don't know if I'll ever get really the right answers or ever be able to make sense of it, is that you have a government that was bringing in X amount of people, and then the same government in charge of making sure those people have houses or can afford housing and shelter, just didn't like stand up or didn't like, to me, if I'm going to bring people in, I got to make sure that they have homes to live in. I got to make sure that the roads and the infrastructure and everything else is all, you know, adjusted for the new people in our country. And not saying immigration is bad. I think immigration is something that we need in Canada. I just think we need policies and we need politicians that understand a little bit of math. You know, this to me was very simple. It's X's and O's. It's bring in Y, produce X. It's, to me, it's very simple, but it got lost. And I think that's been a challenge that has been something that I struggle getting over.
Yeah, and look, we can say if we build it, they will come, right? There's that old movie where they say, okay, let's build the homes and we got something to house people. But don't bring the people in without the houses. Tim?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, I've been involved, volunteer my time away from my family, my business, you know, trying to make a positive impact. I can, you know, share with both of you here that, you know, when I was involved and volunteered my time, the one thing the government wanted was a direct line to the stats, to the numbers, to the information. And I'm very proud of our industry. They actually, you know, constantly are on the phone at every level trying to educate and trying to do the best they can. But, you know, we have to both, you know, realize that politics is also a one-term thing for many people. And, you know, to do the right thing may mean you won't get reelected. And that's something that's very, very hard when you're in that kind of environment. I will tell you that because of the lack of action, that's why 43% of all condos right now are actually owned by investors. If they actually built purpose-built rentals, if they had a plan before, and they have these numbers. These numbers are not something that's new, right? If somebody says, I don't have those numbers, it's because you just didn't read the report that's been given to you over and over again, right? Or you just weren't present in the meeting mentally. Like, you may be there in person, but not there with your ears on, right? So, you know, if you had a plan where you had purpose-built rentals and you engage the private sector to build them, then you wouldn't have that. You'd have more condos owned by people who are living in them. But these are not speculators. These are people who are investing because there was no other option, right? And you're adding to a rental pool that right now is at 1.6 months of inventory. And it was one, you know, and it's going to drop back to 1.2 where it was about a year ago.
Yep.
1.6 is tremendously low right now.
Sure.
For the first time in 3-4 years, we've had a tremendous dip in building. 2023 came, you've had interest rate increases. Every single developer shelved their units till 2024, 2025. Again, a tremendous dip in building. Meanwhile, City Hall in Toronto waited until what, this year to finally put 10% increase on taxes, but they didn't go back and say, well, what have we been doing to incentivize, you know, to have homes built? Now we have, you know, something like 150% increase in development charges.
Yeah.
You know, who's paying for that? That is not a solution. Taxing our way out of the environment, taxing our way out of building, taxing our way out of, you know, development does not work. We have to find a different solution. And they've had them. And this is not about the Liberal Party. I've been there since 2011. I stopped in 19. I was president in 17. I've witnessed that. This is like 14 years of my life that I put in there, and I'm scratching my head, wondering why they're asking for a solution today.
Well, you know what, folks? We're kind of running out of runway, but we definitely want to pick up this topic. And so you can flip over to our Simple Podcast on YouTube, and we're going to be continuing our discussion. So, you know, make sure you're doing that. Go to the simpleinvestor.com if you're thinking that, hey, listen, maybe I want to learn a little bit more about real estate and what's going to happen this year. We've got that, our seminar webinar coming up on this Saturday. That's right, February 3rd, 11 a.m. You don't want to miss out on this one. I'm really excited about it. Yeah, we're, you know, just for fun, why don't we give away a down payment? You can do it. You can sign up. And, you know, we had some really excited winners the last time we did this. It was so popular. People said, could you do it again? And I said, you know what? Let's do it again. Let's see if we can help a family get into the world of investment real estate and maybe create something that's generational. And that's really, you know, one of the big, you know, things that we try to follow up with. And, you know, one of the things about following up with this show is that this year we're going to really be focused on just giving you the straight goods, just the information that's most important to you for either home ownership, buying investment real estate, or at least knowing what's coming down the pipe and what could affect you and your family in the world of real estate. I got to say, I'm really proud of the shows that we have done in 23. I want to thank my producer, Aiden. Aiden has been with us for all of 23. It was a spectacular year. Ian Grant in head office, he always keeps me making it simple, and he has done for the last 10 years. And I want to thank you for making us the number one real estate talk show. And of course, next week, I'll be back as usual. I'm your host, Todd C. Slater. You've been listening to Simply Real Estate right here on News Talk 1010 Toronto.